We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 22. We're going to look at 22 through 24, and then we're going to be preaching on 17 through 32. I'll help you keep up. Verse number 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now it's true that we have, all right, let's pray. Amen. In this Christian life, you know, I preach on liberty because I've been under some preaching that just seems to bind you up. It just seems to tell you, you can't, don't do this, don't do that. You know, don't go to Galveston, don't go to the beach, don't do that, whatever. And, you know, it's occurred to me in studying that Jesus came to his burden's light. It's not heavy. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. And Jesus came to save us and to set us free. And I like to set y'all free. I like to preach the gospel of the grace of God. But there is in this walk, and there's a fear among preachers, you know, that you set people free too much and they just think, well, I can just do whatever I want. You ever met somebody like that? Oh, I got saved when I was a kid. I've accepted Christ and I'm good to go and I've got my ticket and man, I do whatever I want. I knew a fellow like that one time when I lived in the trailer park, and there's nothing wrong with trailer parks. Let me tell you, I like it. I wish I could go back to one. There wasn't much grass to cut. And we had a big house. We're in a real house now and we don't have much room. It's tiny with five of us in there. You know, we had to make a room out of a room that wasn't a room. If that tells you how tiny it is. But the rent's good. But living in that trailer, and there was a fella there that lived there, and I'd talk to him, and I can't recall his name right now, but I would talk to the fella, and he, you know, he just did whatever he wanted. And he said, you know, I got saved when I was a kid, and, you know, he'd get drunk. He had no conscience about any of it. And I was a little bit of a harder preacher back then. You know, I'd tell him. I told you about the time he came up on the four-wheeler, you know, because you can do that in a trailer park. He came up on the four-wheeler, and he had a friend on the back, and I, you know, she said, J.C.'s outside. That's his name. J.C.'s outside. I went over and got my Bible and walked out there. That's what kind of neighbor I was, amen? And I go out there, and I'm talking to him, and I gave him a hard time, and for some reason, after we kind of split, he never talked to me. I don't know why. I don't understand it. But in talking to him, and I was telling him, you need to read the book of 1 John, you know. And then the fellow on the back, I didn't know who he was, but I said, you need to read the book of John. And you need Jesus Christ, you know. I had a little bit of zealousness, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. You say, well, that just makes you look weird. Well, you know, we are a peculiar people in Christ Jesus. And seeing someone get saved, you know. And I wasn't picking on him because he was fun to pick on. But he was bigger than me. Let me let you know that. But in talking to him, he said, you know, Keith. And he had moved down the hill in the trailer park. We were up on the hill, you know. He said, you know, I drink with them down there, and I'll send them up to you. And I said, J.C., that's not the way it works. But you couldn't get him to go to church, you know. That other fellow, Blaine, I told you about him, you know, tattoos all up and down. And I come home one day from church, and he's standing in the driveway. And I'd forgotten all about him. And he's sitting there, and he's looking at us as we pull up. I'm like, stay in the car, D. I get out of the car and he looks at me and he said, you. Yeah, me. He said, you were right. About what? You know? And he'd gone to jail. He'd gotten saved. Somebody else got to reap. You know, I planted a seed and God let me see the, you know, the man reap. He came to our church for a little bit, but, you know, church folks, let me tell you, church folks will look down their nose on somebody, whether they mean to or not. You know, and he didn't have a pedigree. I can tell you that. And it hurts. It hurts when you see someone get saved. I hope I never see that, you know, in the church I pastor. But, you know, looking down and just people have a rough life. People go through different circumstances. People make different decisions. You made a bad decision when you pulled that ice cream out of the refrigerator and you ate it. Somebody else makes a bad decision and they go off on a 3-month binge. You understand what I'm saying? We all have different circumstances. It doesn't justify it, but we all go through different things. We all have different weaknesses. But trying to overcome those weaknesses. See, we talk about liberty in Christ, but you know there is the fact that we need to do some things when we get saved. It's not a matter of just hanging on to everything. It's not a matter of I can do whatever I want. I got my ticket into heaven. But the Bible talks to us about over here in chapter number 20 or chapter number 4, verse number 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him. If you know Jesus Christ and he's taught you, he says, as the truth is in Jesus that you put off. And here in chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, we find one of the best passages for how to live the Christian life. Before we were saved, we did everything according to the deceitful lust and of the old man. And after we get saved, we're suddenly supposed to do things differently. You ever felt that way? It's like you get saved and you mess up. And, man, I'm supposed to be a new creature. All things, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Something's supposed to change here. But make mistakes. And people make mistakes. You know, and some people write it off. They'll say, oh, well, they were never saved in the first place. You know, that's between God and them. I don't know. I can't judge it by looking on the outside. The Bible teaches me that God looks on the heart, that God can see through everything. He can see through all the sin. He can see through what's going on. And he knows whether they've accepted his son as their savior or not. Growing up in church and in a Christian home, you hear the repeated commands against doing and saying anything the old man wants to do. You know, the preacher get up here or your mom and dad, I tell you, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, there's some things that are such a habit that if you sit there and you think about, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, all you can think about is doing that. And if any of you ever stared at a light socket, I don't know, I hadn't done that, but it just pulls you. So you're charged against doing things. You're supposed to not do these things, you know. You don't go running with this crowd. You don't do this. You don't do that. And then when you get into church, there's some churches, you know, you don't wear this. You cut your hair. You don't cut your hair. You hair up, skirt down, as Dee Dee says. And they'll preach and they'll beat on it. By the time children become young adults, you can see why many of them run from God. They've been beat up, and then they get out into life, and they say, you know, this ain't so bad. Mom warned me not to do this, but, hey, I'm having fun. This actually is not so bad, you know. But there's long-term consequences, isn't there? You reap what you sow. But there's something very different in the Christian life than trying to make the old man behave like the new man should. It's something different about it. In your life, it's not just about cleaning yourself up. That's something that when you accepted Christ, you realized you couldn't clean yourself up. Do you follow me on that? So there's something very different in a Christian life than trying to make the old man behave like a new man should. And we'll see this difference in the text today. Number one, it says there's three things here that it talks about. And number one, it tells you that you got to put off something. So in verse number 22, it says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. You're to put off the old man. And when it talks about the former conversation in the King James Bible, and some of you are going to look in your translation and say, yeah, it says that in mine, but it's your manner of life. It's not just talking to other people, because the way that you live communicates to people. People know when you're a hypocrite. It's your manner of life that speaks for you. So over here, putting off the old man. One reason for failure in our Christian lives is we often only deal with putting off the old man. All we think about is putting off. And all we preach on sometimes is just putting off, not doing that, not doing that. We keep saying, you can't do this, you can't do that. And that's tough. Because the old man wants to be gratified. You know, it's the old man that sits there and looks at that piece of cake. This is easy stuff, right? I'm so gentle on you guys. Talking about cake, you know. It's kind of hard to look out here and say, well, you know, that party you went to last night. But you sitting over there, the old man looks at that piece of cake, looks at that ice cream, and he says, I want it. And I've just run into that. I've just run up against that wall. Let me tell you, it ain't pretty. I got to eat Bluebell my whole life. I got to eat candy bars. I got to eat cake. I had a craving. I got to go to it. But then something happened. Yeah, it's already been pegged. Something happened when I turned about 48, somewhere around there. And the doctor said, you got pre-diabetes. Well, good, I ain't got diabetes. But then something happened, you know. The Dr. Peppers, I started feeling a little warm after I drank them, you know. And you just start to feel things. And my doctor, he didn't, whatever, you know. But after a while, you realize your body will tell you. And you take, you know, eat candy or something like that. Even, man, they got the basket. I'm not going to preach on candy all morning, but my goodness. When you're trying to, you never know how hard it is to quit something until you have to. So in the office, on this desk that I walk by just about every other day of the week, they got a basket full of candy. And it's little bitty candy bars, and you think, oh, that'd be all right. That's a Hershey Kiss, man. That thing's that big. You eat that, and then you kind of feel it in your fingers or your feet. It's like, that's not good. That can't be good. That's got to be like poison in my body. You know, sin's like that. And when you first start out, you don't realize how it's hurting you. When you first get saved, you just know that you want to put off that old man, but you don't realize exactly how much it was hurting you. Until you start to see it in other people's lives or until you try to step away from it. And the old man keeps looking at it. I still see that basket every time I walk by. I don't have to look at it. There it is. And my goodness, I want to get mad and throw a fit when they put in the Reese's peanut butter cups. It's like, that's just not even right. Don't they know people had diabetes and they ought not, you know? And in my house, man, ice cream. All right. I know I made a big deal out of that, but I'm just trying to avoid talking about some of the other sins that people get hooked on. Whether it's pornography, whether it's alcohol, whether it's cigarettes, it all kills you. Whether it's drugs, whatever it is. You know, it's a lot easier to talk about candy, isn't it? So you try to put it down, but the old man said, no, I want that. And there's something that clicks off sometimes where you just don't even think about the consequences and you reach into that basket and unwrap that candy and eat it. But when you're walking away, it hurts. It'll hurt you. The old man seeks immediate gratification. It's hard to make him not do something that he really wants to do. The old man always tries to find a way around the truth, the ordinances, the moral restraints. Old W.C. Fields is attributed with a quote a long time ago from one of his movies or something. He said he was sitting there reading the Bible. And if you know, remember W.C. Fields, he was a lush. He was an alcoholic. And that was the strangest thing to see him reading through a Bible. They said, what are you doing reading that Bible? He said, I'm looking for loopholes. And that's why people read the Bible someday. They're looking for loopholes so they can go on doing what they want to do. Well, ignore God or not. So it feels good when he succeeds in pulling a fast one and getting away with something. The old man only considers his personal gratification and disregards the consequences of, the warnings against, or the long-term cost of his behavior. But it's later on that you see the corruption. Over in Galatians, it talks about if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. So who is the old man? The old man is you before your salvation. Look over in verse number 17. He says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. And he talks about Gentiles. He's talking about the unsaved. He says, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Who is the old man? The old man is you before your salvation. Walking in the vanity of their mind. They do whatever they want. They're thinking thoughts that just don't even matter. Their idea of death and hell. You ever seen some of the movies, you know, we'll float a balloon up to heaven, or, you know, this or that, or they were so good. There's a special place for them in heaven. Right? And you hate to say anything different about someone that passed away. But the truth is, if they don't know Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You ignore the Bible, you can make up whatever you want. Walking around in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, reading the Bible and things of God and just not really understanding it. You ever talk to somebody that wasn't saved and tries to sound spiritual? There's just something off about it. Having their understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God. Whosoever is a friend of the world is at enmity with God, the Bible says. I'm not trying to be mean today. I freed y'all up last week. I'm trying to bind you up a little bit now. I'm not really. Through the ignorance that is in them, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Romans chapter 1 talks about being given over to a reprobate mind. They knew God, but they denied him as God, and they put something else in front of him. You know, like as a four-footed beast or man, anything but the God, the creator of this world, being past feeling. He turns them over to a reprobate mind. Lasciviousness means being lustful, loose or lewd, promoting lustful desire in others. And to work all uncleanness with greediness. The old man is greedy. The old man wants what he wants, when he wants, where he wants. He wants it, and he will bother you for it. You sit down to read God's word, and all of a sudden, something else is important to do. That may not happen to y'all. I love to study, but I have the hardest time sitting still because all of a sudden, four things come to mind that I need to do, and it'll pull me away. So what does the old man do? Look at Ephesians, verse 4:25. Now, over in 4:25, we see a putting away and grabbing on to something. But we're just going to look at the things he puts away. It describes the old man perfectly. Over in verse 25, we see that he's a liar. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth. And over in verses 26 to 27, it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. The old man is angry. The old man gets mad when he gets cut off in traffic. The old man gets mad about things. I had a friend of mine call this week and something had happened in their family. And they called me. They wanted to calm down before they dealt with it. They didn't want the old man to have control. And they just needed some time to talk and to get through it. And I understand. But the old man gets angry about things. The old man gets stirred up when something doesn't go his way, and he gets upset about it, and he turns on other people. It says, be ye angry. He says, verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But the old man's also a thief. Verse 28, look at that. Let him that stole steal no more. Verse number 28, but rather let him labor. And the old man has corrupt communication. The old man tears people up, tears people down instead of building them up. You ever work with somebody? I worked in a glass plant on the floor. You know, most of my life I've been a technician working by myself. You know, but when I worked at the glass plant, then I had to learn to work with other people. And I learned what a bad person I was. That's the truth. I'm picking on myself. I learned how much I talked about other people. I learned how much I backed it. But I also learned how much other people do, too. There was this old man that worked there, Ed. I'm not going to give the other name. You never know. They might listen to you one day. They'll pick it out. But, you know, I used to work on that floor, and we had this machine. We'd run the glass through on one side, and they sat on the other side with a razor blade, and they trimmed off the polyester film that was put on it. And it would go through, and you know, she would say, "You know what such-and-so said about you?" And then she would go over to him and say, "You know what such-and-so said about you?" And for some reason, me and him couldn't stand each other. I don't know why. Till one day, right before I got laid off, you know, in the great layoff of 2009, before I got laid off, she went home on maternity leave. And then something happened after about a week or two. All of a sudden, me and Mr. Ed were working right side by side, getting along. Strangest thing. But the old man tears people down instead of building them up. The old man talks about people. I said, I learned about myself. I used to complain and complain. And one day we sat down for a meeting, and I thought, yeah, it's about time we air all this out. And then all of a sudden I realized I was the one that might be on the chopping block. And then I realized, you know, it hurts. It hurts people. It hurts everything. It tears it down. It'll happen in a church. It'll happen in a ham radio club. It'll happen into a knitting club. I don't care. Wherever people get, the old man gets in there and tears it up. Amen. The old man grieves the Holy Spirit. Verse number 30. Y'all stay with me on this. Verse number 30. He said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." In verse number 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." The old man doesn't make God happy. I can tell you that. And we're to put off the old man. But if all you think about is, "I don't want to gossip. I can't get mad. I can't do this. I can't do that." If all you think about, you are going to do it. It's like walking by that candy bowl and saying, "I can't eat it. I can't eat it. I can't eat it. I can't eat it. Just one." If all you think about is that, you're going to do it. So there's something else that you have to do. Look back at verse 22. "That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust." And then verse 23, "and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." There's something else that you have to do. You have to renew the spirit of your mind. We worship God in spirit and in truth. We're to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Over in Galatians, it talks about that. If you walk in the spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is abiding in Jesus Christ, reading God's Word, praying, turning toward God. When the old man creeps up, turn toward God. You just say a little Nehemiah prayer, a little quick one. "Lord, help me here. Getting mad, Lord, please help me. Lord, please, I need you. I need you now." And you mean it. You don't just say, "Oh, Lord, help me. I'm going to hurt him." And there's nobody to stop you. But it's renewing your mind. It's being in God's Word. You know, being in God's Word, reading God's Word, it's like planting little seeds in your life. You know, I heard an illustration given, and it's like planting a garden, which it really is, you know. I just never had a good garden to claim this illustration as my own. But well, Caleb planted some tomatoes one time. But it planted that seed, and there's nothing first day. You don't see anything. Second day, you don't see anything. I don't know what the time is, but after a while, and you go out there and you water it and make sure it's taken care of and you keep things away, and then you see that little sprout come up out of the ground. And it's a little tender thing. And it could be stepped on, it could be pulled out with just a, you know, but you take care of it. Reading God's Word, you got to take care of that time that you have with God. Something will start to sprout, you know. And your life, you'll start to see things change a little bit. You'll start to see that change take place in your life. And some of you have seen that. Some of you, I hope all of you have seen that. But you take care of that plant, and it grows up, and it gets a little stronger, and it can take care of itself. You know, it comes out strong, and it bears fruit. whether it's tomato, whatever it is, tree, whatever it is. And over time it grows, but it has to be taken care of. You know, you watch over it, you take care of it. You got to cultivate your time with God. You know, there's a lot of times it's like when I read you that illustration about water, about dehydration. A lot of you walked away thirsty, you know. It said you can't solve the problem just by drinking a couple glasses of water either. If you've been depriving your body of water, a couple glasses of water, that's not going to cure it. It's keeping water in your body over time so that your body can process during the change. And it's keeping, I saw some man on TV, he said, water, nature's lubricant. It's like, yeah, it is. Keeps everything going. And it's like that with God's word. You can't just dive in, you know, man, I'm in a bind now. What's God had to say about that? It's hard. It doesn't work. Wait until the last minute. It's something that you have to cultivate in your life. The renewing of your mind. This is a step that most of us miss. We can tell young people not to act like the old man and start acting like the new man. But if they're not renewed in the spirit of their mind, if they're not transformed by the renewing of their mind, they'll just be performing. They'll just be, I mean, you can get a monkey to act right. You can get a dog to act right. And you can get a kid to act right. But when they get out on their own, it all busts loose. And let me add this, since I've been stepping in the pile the whole time. You can get a church member to act right under certain circumstances, but when they get away, you can't control what's going on. You have to cultivate with the preaching of God's word, with the reading of God's word, with the prayer, with the time spent alone with God. To be new, there must be a renewing of the mind. This comes from reading the Bible, believing what it says, and walking in the steps that God shows you to take. We must believe what God says is so. It won't do you any good to read the Bible if you don't believe it. It's faith. It's a matter of faith. Lord, I don't know how you did this, but I trust that you did. And then you begin to see God working in your life. As Ephesians 4:21 says, hear him and be taught by him. This is the key. It changes your whole way of thinking about life when you believe what God says. You'll be willing to put forth the effort to put on the new man in anticipation of the benefits God promises. If you don't believe the Bible, then you're not going to be a doer of the word. Because if you don't believe God here, why are you going to believe him here? Why are you going to believe there's any benefit from prayer? Why are you going to believe there's any benefit from reading God's word? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The old man is fleshly, carnal, given over to world, given over to the world and fleshly appetites. Romans 12:2 says, to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's the renewing of your mind that enables you to see what God wants for you. It's not just putting off the old man. It's renewing your mind in God's word and building up in God's word. But then finally, over in verse 24, renewed in the spirit of your mind in verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, my title for this sermon was Dressed for Success. I don't feel like playing up a catchy phrase through this whole thing. It's too serious. I mean, the fact of the matter is when you accept Christ and you're doing this walk with Christ, it can be difficult. It can be hard to overcome that besetting sin. And I want you to understand what it is that changes that. Put on the new man, Ephesians 4:24. It's not enough to put off the old man. That's what so many of us do. We say, I need to quit cussing or smoking or drinking or whatever, but nothing seems to change. That's because you must put on a new man. The new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. And in time, you see these qualities in your own life. So who is the new man? 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There was a lot changed when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You knew you no longer had to worry about hell. You knew you were in God's care. I remember when I was a kid of 11 years old and God is there. I can pray to Him. He can answer my prayers. It was brought up in Sunday school. Imagine seeing that veil rent, you know, after Jesus died on the cross and knowing that you could speak directly to God, that you could petition Him. You didn't have to go through a priest. The new man, behold, all things are passed. So old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The new man is in Christ. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. What does he do? Well, the old man's a liar, Ephesians 4:25. But the new man puts away lying and he speaks truth to his neighbor. It's just a matter of being honest. It's not a matter of avoiding lying. It's just speak the truth. It's a hard thing sometimes. It gets scary sometimes. The old man was angry. The new man says, be ye angry and sin not, verse 26. Imagine Jesus in the temple. Matthew 21:12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall not be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Jesus got angry. Do you think he sinned? It was a righteous anger. My favorite preacher not too long ago, he said it wasn't Bo Peep in there with her hook staff turning over those tables. It was a man. It was the Son of God turning over those tables. Deal with your anger quickly. Don't let it turn to bitterness. Don't let the devil get a foothold in your life. Don't give place to the devil. You know, they say if you're mad at your husband or your wife, get over it before you go to bed. Don't go to sleep on it. I know y'all have done that. You're still married, but it ain't good, is it? It ain't good to do that when you're mad with somebody else. That bitterness takes root, and that bitterness sits in there, and everything that goes on, there's that bitterness hovering in the back, just sitting there with an axe waiting to chop you in the head. There's a picture. So deal with your anger quickly. Don't let the devil get a foothold in your life. The old man was a thief, verse 28. The new man not only works for what he gets, he works so that he can be a blessing to others. It says in verse 28, it said, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. To be a blessing to others. You put yourself out of the way, and you're working not just to work, but you're working so that you can be a help and a blessing to others. You don't have to steal. The old man tore people down, corrupt communication out of his mouth. The one that cusses, backbites, gossips, slanders. Yes, those are in the Bible too. And the new man builds people up. The old man grieves the Holy Spirit. The new man not only puts away all the things the old man does, he replaces them. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So in conclusion, y'all been waiting for that. Success in your walk with God isn't as much about what you take off as it is about what you put on. When you're dressed for success as a Christian, you'll learn in the process what God's will truly is for your life. In the last part of Ephesians 4:32, it says, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. And that's really the crux of the situation. Why do I need to put off the old man? Why do I need to put on the new? Why do I need to renew my mind? Because Christ has forgiven you. Why do I need to forgive that person that wronged me? Because Christ has forgiven you. So many sins that were committed, but Jesus Christ died on the cross and took those sins on his shoulders as he died on the cross. And he was resurrected so that we could have new life if we only accept him. Have you accepted him as we stand today?